This is The Takeaway, and I'm Farai Chidea.
And I'm John Hockenberry. Let's follow the logic now. Yesterday on the Wall Street Journal front page, Bank of America and Citigroup are told they need billions of dollars. That's the unofficial leak from what are expected to be the official release of the stress test reports on the 19 largest banks. Well, Tim Geithner spoke yesterday on PBS's Charlie Rose Show.
They bear the responsibility for making sure they can convince their investors and their creditors that they can get through this with a strong, viable franchise. And I think they're going to be able to do that.
Geithner says it's up to the banks to convince investors to give them the billions they need to hold capital in reserve and make them look healthy. Eric Dash, New York Times banking reporter. It's a harder argument today if the banks fail the stress test to go out and get billions from investors, right?
Well, on one hand it is, but on the other it isn't. You know, the banks have already been given a lot of money last fall when they received this preferred investment stake, and that can be converted into common stock. So it's not – so while many of the banks need money, it's not like that money is out of reach for them.
But is there a confidence factor here? Do the banks have to demonstrate confidence, and is somehow that harder to do with this kind of transparency, stress test, look at the bottom line approach that the Obama administration is taking?
Well, if you believe the administration officials, they'll tell you that it's going to be easier to do because they have a better handle on the losses of these institutions, and investors now will have a better handle on those losses as well. And so they'll be able to see that while the losses are going to be big, they're going to be manageable, and so investors' investment won't get wiped out, and that may encourage them to put more money into these banks.
What kind of economic scenario did the Treasury use to evaluate these banks in the stress test, and how pessimistic or optimistic is it?
So they used a variety of assumptions, like a 10.3% unemployment rate and I think a negative 3.3% GDP decline, which, you know, depending on who you ask, are either tough or not yet tough enough. But I think that sort of it's a little bit beside the point because a lot of these assumptions, one, feed into themselves, so they have the synergistic effect. And then, two, the regulators were very harsh with the revenue assumptions that they used. And so while the on the loss side they may have been a little bit more lenient, on the revenue side they were tough. And so that impacted the capital levels as well.
Is it possible this is a lowering expectations game as well? I mean, in theory, a lot of these banks are getting almost free money from the Treasury and can charge interest rates, if you account credit cards, of up to like 18%. So the spreads on all kinds of investments are huge right now. That means bank profitability.
Well, I think what you're seeing is sort of the banks start healing themselves, and I think the administration hopes that if there's greater transparency, that they can aid in that process. Whether it works, though, is a different story.
And Eric Dash, do you think that somebody's going to get an A and somebody's going to get an F? Who would be on the top of the list of the stress tests and who would be on the bottom based on your reporting?
So I think that what we're going to see is no bank is going to fail as a result of these stress tests, and I think regulators have been very clear about that. But banks are in different conditions, and we're already starting to see a separation. I think a number of banks, you know, Wall Street and Washington are like American high schools. They're abuzz with rumors.
Right. There's above average and there's below average. And
exactly.
J.P. Morgan's probably above average, Citigroup below. Eric Dash, New York Times banking reporter. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I passed my stress test.